Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday, a Trillville Thursday, an opening day for Major League Baseball. The Braves get things going tomorrow as well. Thanks to Brian Jordan for hanging out with us in the 11 o'clock hour and helping us get ready for opening day. John Smoltz was on with Duke Zabel yesterday. We'll let you hear that full interview coming up in about 20 minutes. Get to some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt at 1240 as well, and get to the most important audio in the world in just a minute as Jason Longshore fills in for Randy McMichael today and tomorrow. Just got a bit of news from the Pac-12, Jason, where they've announced their schedule. They're going to delay things a little bit, but they've got a 10-game conference-only schedule. And from my perspective, if the Pac-12 is planning on playing football, that's great news for everybody else. Because if they're playing, everybody's playing.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of flexibility baked into it, according to the reporting out of California. It could be a 9-game schedule if they have to push it back further. Sure. You could have – there's some bye weeks built in that you could reschedule games into. And that's something you're going to have to be ready to deal with. I've been seeing this in the USL Championship, the second division of American Pro Soccer, where in their testing procedures, if you have a positive test in the days leading up to a game, that game's postponed. And that could happen here. I think it's probably likely that you'll get games postponed and pushed back. So this feels realistic as we sit today and you look at what could happen later, because they have a plan. But they also have a plan B, C, D, E baked into it. And you're going to have to do that.
They have to. Right. Exactly. They have, because you don't know how things are going to change. You have to be as flexible as you possibly can. But I understand why they're doing it. If I'm being honest about what I think their motivation is, if all things were equal and the Pac-12 didn't have to try to play keep up with the rest of college football, I don't think they would play. I think by and large, the presidents of the Pac-12 schools don't think it's safe. And it's going to be interesting to see how they justify playing football on campuses where students aren't going to be on campuses. They're going to come up with a way to explain it, but that'll be interesting to hear them justify that. But I think the Pac-12 knows where they stand in the pecking order. I think they realize they're the fifth of the Power Five conferences and that people don't take their football seriously. And if they're going to miss an entire season, I don't know what that would do for them. It could devastate that conference in terms of their ability to keep up. And as painful as it is for me to say this, if it wasn't for the way that Oregon recruited and Oregon's branding nationally over the last decade, and USC just having the USC luster around its name, the Pac-12 as a conference would already be forgotten. So it's a good thing that they decided to do this. Hopefully they can do it safely. Another thing that we know, I know this is happening on a lot of different campuses, but certain Pac-12 campuses have had huge issues with their fraternity rows having crazy coronavirus outbreaks.
Right.
Like, football players are going to go to parties. The latest reporting that I read was they're going to test them for the final time on Wednesday or Thursday before they play on Saturday. You're trying to tell me that, I mean, when I was in college, Thursday night was the biggest party night. Guys are going to go to parties after they get tested. I hope they come up with a better protocol than that.
You're going to have to test more frequently.
You're going to have to.
We talked about this yesterday, too. I mean, I'm with you on the Pac-12 from a stature standpoint. If everybody else is going to play, they have to, or they'll be left behind. But it's also about all the other sports. You know, it's about men's and women's basketball. It's about men's and women's soccer. It's about swimming and diving and tennis and everything else, because if these programs don't play in football and you have to give back TV money and you're going to lose money on tickets, that's already, you're writing that off. But if you have to give back TV money, you're not going to have these other sports. Stanford's already cut a bunch.
They did.
Preemptively. If you don't have football, forget it. It's going to kill athletic departments.
Yep. And hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully whatever money they're able to make off of this season is weird and short and no fans and everything that it's going to be. Hopefully it's enough to keep those other programs afloat. Because as we know, football funds basically everything that happens in these Power Five athletic departments. We'll keep an eye on that as it develops. But as of now, it looks like the Pac-12 is going to play. And across the board in college football, that seems like really good news to me. Let's get to the most important audio in the world, the Braxton Big Clip of the Day, brought to you by Braxton Automotive, after warranty luxury repair.
He didn't miss that one. It's cracked to straightaway center. Birdie on the run is going to watch that one sail over the fence. He didn't miss the fastball, 95 miles an hour, and Riley turned it around to the deepest part of the ballpark. And the Braves are on the board. It's now a 2-1 game.
That was Austin Riley's first of two home runs yesterday. He looks pretty good to me. Obviously, both of those home runs speak volumes towards that, which is great because Johan Camargo, and we'll hear from Snitker in just a minute, is still banged up. But you know, Austin Riley is going to be a huge factor in the Braves' success this year. I know we talked to Brian Jordan, and you asked him, Jason, who's your under-the-radar sleeper star for this team? Austin Riley was the name that he said. If he's right, if Austin Riley has a star type of year for the Braves in these 60 games, we saw what the offense looked like last year when Austin Riley was hitting home runs. That's when they were at their best. If he's doing that again, I mean, this offense has a chance to be great.
Yeah, if you missed that interview with Brian Jordan, you can scroll back on radio.com on the app and hear the whole thing. Brian gave us a ton of insight, but Austin Riley, as his pick as the underdog of this team, is so perfect because this is a player who's very streaky. And if he's feeling it coming into the season, in this short season, you want to ride that as long as he is feeling it. As long as that streak is good, you want to keep him in the lineup. And if he's hitting bombs like that, keep playing him wherever you got to play him, wherever you got to find a spot for him. You've got the DH to work with, too.
Mm-hmm. And it's especially important given this from Brian Snitker yesterday.
Camargo's only been on the field once in the last, 5 days. He tests out good tomorrow, and he goes there and works out again Friday. There's a pretty good chance he's not going to be in the lineup on Friday. You know, I mean, it might be a few days in even as we go before we get him out there. So, you know, to answer your question, Riley will be third baseman on Friday just because we're not sure where Camargo's going to be.
What would be great, Jason, is if the streakiness that defined his rookie season is something that isn't the definition of this season for him.
Right.
And more consistency is going to be the thing that really makes Austin Riley a viable everyday candidate at third base. What I liked from yesterday was in that second at bat where he hit his second home run, he saw a slider that last year he probably would have either swung at and missed or swung at and weakly grounded out. He looked at it and it was a ball and he forced the Marlins pitcher to throw him a fastball. And we know what Austin Riley does to fastballs. If he can be more discerning at the plate, then he can force pitchers to throw him those pitches that he can handle. And it looks like he's worked very hard on that. Everything we hear about Austin Riley is that he's just a workaholic, and he's a filmaholic, and he's gotten in the lab and tried to make sure that he can adjust his game as much as he can. Again, if he does that, this lineup is incredibly long and incredibly dangerous. And like you said, you add that designated hitter wrinkle to it. That's encouraging. It's very exciting as a Braves fan to think about that.
Yeah, you can keep guys in the lineup, but kind of give them a rest day too. And it's something that the DH has turned into over the years. You know, it used to be dedicated guy who can hit but can't play in the field. It's not really that anymore. It's a way to rotate your lineup but keep a streaky hitter in who's riding a streak, but maybe you don't want to play him in the field that day. It just opens up more possibilities. I love what you said about the patience at the plate, because I think early pitchers are going to be struggling to have full command of all their pitches. And if you can make them work a little bit harder early on, you're going to get better pitches to hit. If Riley can do that, he's going to hit the ground running the season.
We also know that starting pitchers are just going to be pulled much more quickly. Teams are going to be a lot more careful with their starters. And the Braves, and hopefully this turns out to actually be true on the field, but on paper, the Braves have one of the strongest bullpens in baseball. And while we're dealing with pitchers trying to get their arms stretched out and able to go 5, 6, 7, 8 innings, maybe complete game, that's kind of out of baseball these days, but you know what I mean? The Braves should be in a good position to deal with the early part of this year. The Braves play the Mets 6 times in the first, 12 games of this season. The Mets have a terrible bullpen. So if you can be patient and you can get Jacob DeGrom throwing a bunch of pitches early in the game, and you get into that Mets bullpen faster, you have a much better chance of beating these guys. And that's true across – I mean, the same thing was true last year with the Nationals. If you could get into their bullpen, that was a great way to beat them. If you could get into the Phillies' bullpen, that was a great way to beat them. It was true of the Braves, too, early in the year. The Braves' bullpen was a disaster early in the season. That should be a strength of theirs now. And, you know, if you can expose the Nationals in the first few series that you play against them that way before DeGrom is going 8 innings and 7 innings and able to shut you down and get to that bullpen, be a great way to beat these teams, because that's an advantage that the Braves have that a lot of the NL East doesn't.
It's that balance that a manager like Brian Snitker, I think, will be able to get through to his players, because you have to preach patience early on, but you're also feeling that pressure of every game meaning a little bit more. I think Snitker will be able to manage that, and he's a good, you know, we talk about it in a soccer sense, a man manager who gets the best out of the players that they have. I think Snitker can get the best out of these young, talented players and keep them in check with that balance between patience and pressure.
Yep, I agree with that. Maybe we'll spend a little bit more time on Brian Snitker tomorrow, as tomorrow is opening day. I don't think there's any debating his ability as a person-to-person, making a connection type of manager. Guys love Brian Snitker.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Freeman going to bat for Brian Snitker as often as he could before he was actually brought on as the full-time manager, and other guys throughout the last couple of years speaks to that. The question marks with Snitker are his situational decision-making. And if he's able to navigate his way through this season, I don't want to hear about any of that stuff anymore.
Right.
I just don't. If Snit manages through, especially the early part of this year, when you're going to have to make these changes so often with this weird season that it is, I don't know. I think he passes that test and we move on from it, but I don't know. People are always going to complain. Let's hear from Mike Trout, who's already rich, welcoming Mookie Betts, who's now very rich, to the very rich Southern California club.
I'm happy for him. Obviously, being so close to him now, it's pretty cool to have him out here. And you know, like I said, Southern California is great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. Thanks, Mike. I got 450 mil. You got 350 mil, and we both live in Los Angeles. Ain't life grand? Mookie Betts got a whole bunch of money yesterday, which is great. He deserves it. He's a really good player. He's been amazing. He's still young. The Dodgers absolutely robbed the Red Sox and got one of the best young players in ball. Mike Trout, one of those guys too. This very, very Atlanta-centric of me to think this way, but this is always how I think when I see these contracts. Ronald Acuna is one of those guys too, or at least he's very soon going to be, and he's not nearly as expensive. So good on the Braves for getting that contract done when they did. And look, congratulations to Mookie Betts for getting paid big yesterday too.
Yeah, that contract looks better and better and better for Acuna every time you see these kinds of signings, but The comment from Trout's just hilarious. I mean, yeah, it's pretty nice, isn't it?
It's fun
pretty
to live
good.
Down here. Like, they've got the Pacific Ocean over there. Sun's out usually. Taxes kind of suck, but whatever. We make hundreds of millions of dollars.
You can deal with that.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. I like that. What does Mike Trout think about Mookie Betts now also being incredibly rich? Speaking of young guys that are soon going to be incredibly rich, Trae Young is well on his way to getting a max contract from the Hawks.
Yes.
I mean, not this summer, but eventually that's going to happen. The other thing we like about Trae is his star power and some of the celebrities from around the country that are already on his bandwagon. Sounds like he's got another one out on the West Coast.
Yeah. When Trae came out, yeah, that was big as a motherfucker.
Is that Trae Young, the basketball player, the three-point killer? Is that who that is? Boy, I f*** with you, Trae. Let me get one of them jerseys up out of you, dog. With your dog ass. Quit playing.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg. yesterday.
Snoop D-O-double G. I love it.
On IG Live, that was in the Versus battle where DMX and Snoop went head-to-head last night. I heard it was good. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I heard it was really good. Snoop Dogg, a Trae Young fan, not surprisingly.
No, not surprised at all. I mean, Trey's got that swagger. You know, he's just a fun player to watch. And you're watching a Hawks game, and he pops off the screen with what he can do. So he's going to be, you know, the first guy the Hawks have had in a while to be that nationwide superstar.
Yeah, for sure. And that's going to matter in terms of getting them on national TV, which is good. I mean, he's really good, too, which is the most important thing. Like, Trae Young's really talented.
But he's a star. Like,
he's a star.
It's different because you can be really talented and not be a star. He's a star.
Yeah, he is. Now, hopefully that translates into Atlanta being a free agent destination. Like, hopefully guys want to come play alongside him. But, yeah, I mean, the Hawks accomplished what they meant to accomplish in drafting Trae Young. The reason that they traded to get Trae was because they thought Trae was going to be that. They thought, like, stars like Snoop Dogg and other celebrities across the country would pay attention to him and care about him. Now it's just got to translate into other stuff.
Is Snoop
like
talking about Luka like that?
Sure isn't. At least I don't think so. I don't know. That was a short clip. He might have. I don't think so. We'll come back. We'll let you hear what John Smoltz had to say to Dukes and Bell yesterday. Opening day today in Major League Baseball. Opening day for the Braves tomorrow. We'll let you hear from the Hall of Famer next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The world of sports has changed, and when it comes to Atlanta sports fans, no one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
20 minutes away from some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt, where we will talk about some new team names. There's a new team name in the NHL and some team name news in the NFL as well, although I don't know that it's actually a name. It's just a temporary solution. We'll get to that in 20 minutes with Brian. Right now, though, Dukes and Bell talked to Hall of Famer John Smoltz yesterday and started off with a pretty important question. Has Mike Foltynewicz lost his confidence?
Now, the biggest thing is you're going to find some different disparities between players in normal circumstances and these circumstances. So what I mean by that is personalities, discipline, mental differences are going to take players a while to get used to not having the adrenaline and not having the outside influence affecting their structure. And you know, simply put, there's going to be some distractions that affect players differently when you don't have the normal environment you're used to playing in. So, you know, the crowd is important in everything that sports and players do. And so now what you're trying to do is train yourself to think about how you're going to effectively pitch without the crowd. Piped-in noise is fine. It's more for the people at home watching the game. But that's going to be the biggest challenge. When I look at this whole thing shaping up, and the teams that have a great chance of winning, the rosters, of course, is giving them best chance of winning. It's going to be the teams that can figure out a way to collectively deal with this nuance of playing baseball with no fans and basically having to adhere to all these different rules that put you in a different comfort zone. Look, I can only say for my own sake, I remember the days when I was pitching in front of 500 to 1,500 fans, and you could hear things you weren't supposed to hear when you're on the mound. And if you're not locked in, you start effectively feeling different. So you learn over time. You know, I don't think it's going to take very long, but I would be remiss to say some players are going to struggle with it. I'm not saying that your question is directly, my answer is directly to a Foltynewicz, but when you have that's the reason why sports is an incredible thing. You have different personalities, different guys can handle different environments, different moments, and you're going to find out quickly which teams are better prepared, or at least help prepare their players to give them the most reps they can to get ready for a season. Now, when the season kicks off, that natural adrenaline will kick in, but what will be missing will be coming out of the pen or starting a game and you know it's empty. That's the stuff you'll have to learn on their own. Each guy will have to learn what do they do, how do they do the things they need to do to get ready to stay locked in and not drift, not mentally drift or daydream. I did that a lot in the first 3 years of my career, and I had to learn how to sharpen that focus for 35 starts. Now, I had no problems in the postseason because I wanted all postseason games. But that's just the reality of living life a little bit differently right now, and everyone's going to have to make adjustments, including my preparation right now for I got 12 games coming up in 15 days. I'm driving myself crazy trying to figure out how I'm going to do it.
It's Hall of Famer John Smoltz with us, guys, talking about the Bravos. It's a moot point now, John, but we just thought we'd pick your brain. Did you like the idea, the concept of Yasiel Puig in a Braves uniform?
Yeah, I actually did, only from a standpoint of depth, and now that National League has the DH without some players on the roster, it just gave them an opportunity to have some depth. I really did. I know what Yasiel Puig brings to the table, good and bad, but I also know that, he has been away from the game for a long time, as a lot of players are, and maybe this time around would have been a little different.
John, as we talk about a guy like Cole Hamels, specifically about the Braves, I don't know if we're going to see this guy or not. Are you hearing anything? I mean, the injury before spring training, okay, we thought he might miss spring training and it might be a month or two, and then obviously the pandemic hit. But now I'm starting to believe, I don't know when we're going to see this guy.
Yeah, I've heard nothing. That's that part of the problem I'm dealing with right now, trying to catch up with everything that's gone, 4 months dormant to 0 to 100, and you're trying to get as much information you can about each club. It's different when you can't get anywhere. You can't be on site. You can't do the things that we're normally accustomed to doing. So that's going to be an interesting challenge for everybody, just to figure out, how this thing's going to move forward with the limited scope of contact, of course. And, I can say this, there's a certain intrigue and excitement that I can't wait for. I can't wait for the 60-game sprint. Obviously, a lot of people can't wait for baseball to get started again. And I think that's going to be an ongoing week to week. There's going to be over-magnification of slumps and streaks and, your first 10 games, you're 3-7, the sky is falling. Like, all those things are going to be amplified tenfold because over 162, you can bypass the month or two, and you can let guys get out of their slumps and get in rhythm. Now, press start button now, and everyone's going to have a hyper-focus to the importance of winning games and series and putting themselves in the best situation possible, because the season is just, you can't hide bad streaks. You just can't hide, sometimes you might not be able to overcome a 10 or 15 game stretch that you would easily overcome in 162. The easiest example is the Washington Nationals could never go through a stretch like they did last year and compete in a 60 game stretch this year. But it was last year and it was 162 and they chased down everybody and won the World Series, which is incredible. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the nuances of how teams adapt, accomplish, guys that aren't ready, how they cover the gap. That part is going to intrigue me as an announcer, as a fan, and as the season, gets off to a flying start and everything really has that much more importance to it.
It is Hall of Famer and now great broadcaster John Smoltz with us, guys, talking about the Bravos getting ready to take on the Mets, start the season. So you just touched on it, John. Austin Riley got off like a house of fire and then pitchers made adjustments, as they often do to rookies. So, I mean, if you're Snitker, how do you handle this? It's going to be like, okay, you're out, you're in. I mean, you're going to have quick hooks with everybody in a 60-game season. How does that affect the psyche and the confidence of these guys?
Yeah, and that's kind of the stuff I'm talking about, the patience and how much patience and then the ability to kind of micromanage a situation in a game. I liken it to this. I think any strategy that you have for 162, throw it out the window. Get creative, find ways to score runs different than you would last year, because it is different. The model's different. The playoff format's different, and how to get there. So I just think the importance and detail is going to be right out of the gate. We can't throw away a game or two or an at-bat. And yes, you're going to probably use more pitchers early, but you have the resources to do that with the expanded roster. Guys should be fresher. I would say a starter takes two starts, and he should get used to everything that's going on after two starts, then ride him. Ride him like you know, the teams that have the starters, ride them. That's what's going to be, I think, the bulk of what gives teams the best chance to win. Because we use starters at the end of the year in the postseason in unconventional ways when they're already tapped out and you've thrown 200 and some innings. Now you only have 11, 12 starts out of these guys. So that resource should be there for teams that have the ability to have their starters carry the bulk once you get past two starts, in my opinion. But it's going to be unique to see which teams divert, which teams zig or zag, and I don't think you can just rely on bopping the ball all over the ballpark and hit homers to win games. You know, I think you're going to have a much more – I think hitters are going to have a challenge facing a lot more pitchers early and see who gets on track early. I've seen the historical slow starters, meaning hitters and pitchers out of spring training, and then they end up with the numbers, they end up over 162. You're going to be asked a lot of questions after 10 games while you're 2-for-20. You know, or why, you know, that stuff's going to have to be mentally checked out, and you're going to have to just, you know, overcome those kind of, I call them noise.
Smoltzy, normally we talk about starting pitching, and you've been a part of both, great starting pitching rotations and obviously bullpens. But this year it seems like teams with better or the best bullpens, you know, Yankees, the Rays, we can go down the list, even the Braves are being thrown in there, Astros. Are those teams going to benefit even more so in a shortened season because of it? Is it more about the pen than it is about starting rotation, in your opinion, with this sprint?
I think that's the knee-jerk reaction. I really do. And early on, that's what's going to be the case with 30-man roster, then down to 28, no doubt. Okay. But my mindset would be if I had starters in the bulk of the season, you know, the middle part of the season, there's no reason you can't every once in a while come back on 3 days. Rest, you're going to be fresh. I think the teams that down the stretch are going to use their starters and rely on them more down the stretch. Early on, I think it's relievers. The pressure on the teams to win early is going to be greater, but their roster should handle it. The teams you just mentioned, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Braves, all those teams that are ready and primed to be in position are going to have the best resources because they've addressed their issues in the postseason. I mean, in the preseason. So that's where I'm intrigued to see how they teams get away from the normal information that would be adequate for 162, I don't think is going to be adequate for 60. I don't think you can go by the same manual. That would be my approach.
John Smoltz is with his guys breaking down how this very unique baseball season is going to roll. It's funny, John, every time we talk about the pitching, I'm saying, hey, Kyle Wright's got a chance to step up. Maybe Tuki Toussaint can make up for what didn't happen last year. And then there's always Sean Newcomb. And I go, man, Smoltz believes in him. And then do you feel that's another – I know it's preseason, it's an exhibition, but, I mean, are you looking for some signs that Newcomb can be a starter, or is that ship starting to sail?
I sure wish he could. I mean, I think he's meant and body type is meant to be for that. But, again, in this short sprint, you're going to ask guys to be ready early and see the one argument I would have from a use the bullpen early is the more pieces you have to use each game, and the rule changes of three batters, the more you have to use, the more likelihood one of those guys isn't right for that day. So that's why it's better to keep a shorter stint of pitchers, in my opinion, that you know are locked in. So that's going to be the interesting thing as it plays out. You throw five pitchers first game, it only takes one guy to be off to have a bad inning. He's got to face three batters. So the more guys you pitch early, you're asking a lot of guys to be locked in.
Great stuff, as always, from Hall of Famer John Smoltz yesterday with Dukes and Bell. If you want to hear the entire interview, check it out on 929thegame.com, the Dukes and Bell page. We'll come back. We'll get to some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt. There's a lot of team name news from the NFL, from the NHL, a lot of new names. Or one team doesn't have a name anymore, but we'll tell you why. Coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Lawrenceville, what's up?
Oh, hello.
Hey, it's John from John and Hugh in the Morning Show. Don't forget Sweet Tea, all those stories that we missed that you might have missed too, from Denitra on the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy, me and Wendy discussing team names and mascots off the air. I imagine Brian is going to do the same in Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal. Jason Longshore filling in for Randy McMichael today and tomorrow. And if you'd like to ask Jason or me or Wendy or Brian anything, any question, any topic, send them to the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line at 404-741-0929 or on Twitter at TBM929, at Longshoe, at Wendy Radio, or at Brian_Gebhardt. We'll answer your questions in an hour from right now. We'll get back into what's trending in about 20 minutes, top of the 1 o'clock hour, and then Troublemaking Joe Patrick going to stop by at 1:20 as well. Great stuff from John Smoltz, as always, in talking about what the Braves are going to be this year, or most likely going to be this year, in his conversation with Dukes and Bell yesterday. So cool of him to join. Always great when John Smoltz joins the radio station. Glad we got a chance to play that in the last segment. Let's get to some damn good questions with Brian.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
To by Engineered Solutions Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs, dial 678 ESOG now. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. We got all sorts of team names to break down here, and some of them not so creative. So want you guys to rank these team names and discuss. We have the Washington football team, which according to Adam Schefter is what the team in Washington will now be called. The just announced 40 minutes ago newest NHL team, the Seattle Kraken. And the ultra creative choice of Charlotte FC earlier this week for the newest MLS team.
These are all over the place.
Isn't Charlotte FC basically the same thing as the Washington football team?
Washington, like, could have been Washington FC.
They could have been. And I actually said that a couple weeks ago, and I thought that would have been, if they wanted to go the complete opposite direction and anger all of the people that were supportive of their previous name, calling themselves FC would have been one of the things that they could have
done. It would
have
been amazing.
It's basically what they've done, though,
yeah,
right? They're Washington FT now, the Washington football team.
Charlotte FC and Seattle Kraken are both on opposite ends of the scale here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two teams being announced. Seattle went pretty out there on their name. And Charlotte did not go anywhere near the end of that branch for their name. They went with the easiest possible thing. I like the branding for both, okay? I really like the Seattle branding. I love the S. I like the colors. I like the look of what the sweater looks like. I'm good with all that. But Kraken? Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I lived there for a long time. Born there, raised there, spent the majority of my life there. Don't remember ever seeing any Kraken. But hey, that's the name that people seem to like. It's getting rave reviews nationally. Like, the I'm with you. The branding is cool. The jerseys look cool. That logo with the anchor and the space needle,
yeah,
awesome. It is a very good logo. I don't know. Seattle, I mean, and trust me, anybody knows anything about me knows that I am a fan of Nordic mythology. And the Kraken is a Norse sea god. That I get it. I understand all that. I wanted something, and I said this yesterday when we talked about Charlotte FC. I always like team mascot names to have something to do with the history of the city. And Charlotte FC doesn't have that. That's why I thought it would have been really cool if they went with one of the various other options that they had. What I'm about to say is going to sound really lame, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think Seattle Sockeyes would have been a lot more fitting, and I would have liked it more. And a sockeye is a salmon.
Mm-hmm.
Salmon is a big part of the culture in that part of the world and in that city. And I've seen a sockeye salmon before. I've, again, never seen a Kraken. Now, Release the Sockeye doesn't quite have the same intimidating sound as Release the Kraken does.
I mean, you're playing that before the start of every period in the hockey
of
game,
course,
right?
And people are going to love it. And I'm sure I'll probably come around to it eventually.
You're going
to
buy the shirt.
I'm the only person in America right now that doesn't like Seattle Kraken.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you too.
But does like Washington football team. I like the name Washington football team. I think it's unique. It's the only one in the NFL that doesn't actually have a name or a mascot. I don't know what their mascot would be.
Even go down that road right now.
Yeah, good point. Maybe they don't need one. Maybe they don't need a mascot.
No.
But I don't know. I'm not trying to be contrarian. You know, anybody that knows me or has listened to the show knows that's not really my thing. I'm not like out to be the opposite end of the spectrum guy. I don't like the name Seattle Kraken. I do like the name Washington football team, and I'm over here all by myself.
If I got to rank them, as Brian asked us, I will go with, man, this is hard because I don't really like any of them, to be honest. It should have been Washington FC, and I would have loved it.
That would have been crazy.
Begrudgingly, I will go with the Kraken number one, not because of the name, but because of everything else attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go with the Washington football team second, and Charlotte FC. I just feel like they could have done better.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the thing about Charlotte FC, I understand what Washington is doing. Like,
yeah,
they're eventually going to come up with a name. They're just, yeah, I mean, they're in a bad situation right now.
Yeah.
They might have new ownership in the next 6 months. So they're, you know, they're trying to figure out where they're going. Charlotte FC, like, hired a firm, a design team to come in and think of a name and a logo and a color scheme and all the branding and everything that they did. And they just picked the Panthers colors and took FC, which every other soccer team in the world has. Like, yeah. Sign me up to be on that branding squad.
Seriously. Like, I said it yesterday. If the branding made up for it, if you go kind of plain name, but the branding is great, all right, you can sell me on it. This didn't hit that mark at all.
The one thing that they did with their logo, because a lot of logos will say established in the year that they were created.
Good point.
They said that they're minted.
Yeah.
Charlotte FC was minted in 2020. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of unique.
It harkens back to the Charlotte Mint and all that. I
didn't know that. I didn't realize that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a tie mint to that. So that's cool. I like that.
What is that? What is the Charlotte
I believe
mint?
It was the one of the first U.S. mints out there. That's what I'm trying to double check here.
Okay, sorry. Yeah,
you caught me on that one.
Sorry, Jason, tell us about the history of the mint.
First United States branch mint, and they specialized in gold coinage. But there's no gold in the logo.
Oh, see, now that would have been smart.
Now I like it even less.
Or call them the Charlotte Mints. That would have been really cool. Well, not cool, but it would have been more unique. I don't know. I would be bad at coming up with team names.
Charlotte Mint FC.
I like the Washington football team, and I don't like the Kraken. That is proof that I would be bad at coming up with team names.
After trading for former AL MVP Mookie Betts and signing him to a massive extension yesterday, if the Dodgers don't win the World Series again this year, do they officially take the mantle from the Braves as the most disappointing National League dynasty?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
they
we'll
have
give
to.
It to him. Gladly, take it, have it, because the Braves won one, right? I mean, yeah, take it, keep it, put it on your mantle. The Braves won a World Series. I mean, I know that they should have won more, and were in position to win more, and it's always going to be a little bit of not a little bit. It's always going to be disappointing that era didn't result in more championships because of the amount of talent. But look at the Dodgers, man. Look at all the games they. Look at all the games they've won over the last decade, and they haven't even gotten one yet. So, yes, they would.
Easily.
This is a question I wrote down a few weeks ago. It's still relevant, never got to it. Is it time for the Nets to do the right thing and sign 39-year-old Joe Johnson?
I think it is time. The Nets have signed everybody else. I mean, they signed Michael Beasley and Jamal Crawford, who's also, I think, 39, maybe 40. Who knows? You'd never know by looking at him. He looks the exact same as he always has. Joe Johnson is the only guy, I believe, that would have played in the NBA, the Big Three. What's the other one?
Is there another basketball one? League?
Yeah, and in the basketball tournament. And he played in the basketball
tournament.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then to come back to the NBA, he'd be the only one to do that, which would be amazing.
That's a career path.
Yeah. Sign him.
Sure. Let's have the entertainment value.
Remember Nate Robinson, former NBA player Nate Robinson? Apparently, he's on the undercard when Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. fight each other.
Who is he fighting?
Some YouTube guy. Some YouTube
he's
star.
He's fighting a YouTube guy?
Yeah, man. I don't know.
What?
Don't do it, Nate. You don't have to do it. You play.
What?
We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to join us in half an hour from now. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.